Yo, what's up, Go Squad? Welcome back to another podcast. So thankful to have you. Got the squad with me.
Yo, it's time. It's go time.
Some of my nearest and dearest friends. Wow. All ready to have a great conversation.
Wow, I'm so happy you feel that way.
I'm actually so ready.
Good. I'm very excited about this one. This is an important conversation. Wow, some laying hands over here.
Well, I saw it happening over here, so yeah. I had to make sure that
power transfer, yes, if you will.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Of course.
Laying on of hands.
I receive it.
Yes. Yes.
In my shoulder.
Right. You felt it that much?
I did.
What is happening? Well, this is a great conversation. It's very timely in all seasons. And I will let you know, the topic is, well, actually, you know, because you clicked on the video, but it's about how to survive the times we're in. And so, especially right now, I think it's very important. Actually, I think it's important in all seasons to keep talking about how you're doing, where you're at, and to analyze also the times, because I think the times and seasons shift a lot, and that has a lot to do with how we are and how we show up in those times. So,
for sure,
let's get into it.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
I have a question for everybody.
What you got?
Are you ready for it?
I think so.
First question, what are you doing intentionally in this season to stay in alignment with God?
I was not ready. No, I'm just kidding. I feel like consistency is probably the most key thing in staying in alignment with God. I think that for me, I had to learn really recently, like, to just make sure that my priorities are set. Mm-hmm. And number one for me always is getting in the presence of the Lord every single day. That has to happen before I'm able to fully be me, to be honest. And I think that, you know, having that consistent time and allowing God to speak to me and not just, you know, going in there with, you know, my agenda, but really going in there with the mentality of like, what are you saying? Because I don't know, you know, I don't know what's going to come out of this day. I don't know who I need to be. I don't know who might need prayer. And I think that's a big part of it is listening and being in a position to be able to hear what he's saying. Because, you know, he might want to wake you up at when you get woken up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, it happened the
other
day.
And it happens every night. If it happens every night, God might want to talk to you at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Might be your time.
So why not say, you know, okay, this is happening. Like what's going on? And a lot of times I think he is intentional about doing it at 4 o'clock in the morning because that's when you're the most quiet. Mm. So I think for me, staying in alignment is being very like making sure that I'm listening to God, making sure that I'm making space and room in my life to hear what he's saying to me. Mm. Yeah, that's what I would say.
Would you say that's like, because you said consistency, would you say it's like consistency in like your prayer life?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Consistency in my disciplines.
Yeah.
Consistency in the things that I know make me the best version of myself and make me closest to God, which leads me to be the best version of myself.
Mm-hmm. Can you repeat your question again?
Yeah. What are you doing intentionally in this season to stay in alignment with God?
That's great. Well, the key that I hear in that is alignment. Like, what are you doing to stay in alignment? And I think you actually said something that it's so necessary. I don't think you can stay in alignment if you're not constantly making time and space to get into God's presence, to pray, like to actually have your prayer life go to another level where you can't have a day without it. And it's not a religious duty to just go in there and just make it a routine and a habit of saying the same words over and over again, but truly going in there and saying, like, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Like, I want to hear what you have to say. And staying postured that way. Because there's so many voices, you know, there's so many voices. And even the best of voices, you know, pastors and leaders and great motivational speakers, people like that, like, that's great to get those words and to hear the things that God will speak to other people, but you got to hear it for yourself. So I think for me, like, to stay in alignment, my prayer life, like, I feel like in every season, I don't know about y'all, but like, I feel like my prayer life has had to go to like new levels. So like level to level, glory to glory. Like, I feel like that's how my prayer life is. It's like, I've seen it go from level to level, from glory to glory. I've seen it go from being disciplined in this way to now like being even more intentional about it, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, bro, it's for me, it's like balancing, you know, being, you know, newly married. I feel like sometimes I would desire to be in the house more, you know, which is natural because, you know, I have a wife. You know, beautiful wife that I love. Mariah, if you're seeing this, I'm sure you are because you're a part of this I love you. But there's also times where I need to be out with the guys, mm-hmm. you know, so I can come back and be more of a husband to my wife. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something about just being around the guys that just, it builds me up. It's like being poured back into. Mm-hmm. Also finding time to create, you know, aside from, you know, the time that I spend with my wife, the time that I spend with God, the time that I spend with, you know, my guys, or even when I leave, even something simple as me leaving the house to go to work, I didn't know how much I valued that. You know, getting in my truck, that is like one of my sanctuaries. You know, I'm able to lay down so much. I'm able to be so creative, like, but that's me being balanced. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't, if I get in the truck and I'm off, that means something outside mm-hmm. of my sanctuary, you know, is throwing me off. But mm-hmm. I'm telling you, man, like, just being in my truck, that's probably one of my favorite things.
Yeah, it's the spot.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Jet knows. Yeah. Jet knows, bro. Yeah. Literally, I like, my prayer closet is my car, bro.
Yeah, dog.
It's my car. And I don't know, everybody isn't fortunate and blessed enough to have a car. So if you're in that situation, I'm sorry. But take the principle of this. Like, find a place.
That part.
Yeah. Find a place. If it's in your house, if it's at a coffee shop, if it's at McDonald's. Like, I've heard about this guy who's like, just, he's built incredible churches and all stuff. I was listening to this podcast, and he said that his devotion, what he does, and he sticks to this, and I feel like this is one of the key principles, is staying at his feet, is he would literally go to McDonald's, and he still does it to this day. I think he's been in ministry for over 55 years, and he was saying that he goes, yeah.
Goodness.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's nuts. But in a healthy ministry, it's part of Gateway Church. We're not part of Gateway, but I've heard incredible things from Gateway. Anyways, besides the point, this guy was going to McDonald's every single day, and that was his sacred time. So I think when you recognize how important it is to hear the voice of God, whether it's in your car or whether it's at McDonald's, like, that is the thing that actually gives you the ability to stay in alignment and be accurate and to have that accountability. Like, God is the greatest accountability partner we could ever have. Yeah. And if you're accountable to God, like, first and foremost, man, that will keep you in alignment. Like, if you're truly accountable to God, like, if you're truly taking the steps to make sure that, like, God, I want to be the man that you've said that I am, the woman that you've said I am, and I want to be accountable to the things that you've called me to do, to say, to be, that is how you stay in alignment. It's a heart posture to say, God, I want what you desire for me. Whether I have to go and sit at McDonald's every single day for 55 years, or whether I have a prayer closet that I get into and that's my place of devotion. But having that place is huge.
Yeah, for sure. I think having a meeting place is huge. And, like, and you mark that space as your sanctuary, like you talked about, because you have this space, you meet with God, you make it a routine, and then you constantly get to mark the spots where you and God get to have your time. You know, it's important with, like, a relationship. Mm-hmm. I think for me, it's been reanalyzing my routines because I think seasonally, you know, things shift, things change, and then some seasons call for different things. You know, I might have more time of prayer. I might have more time where I'm fasting more, or I'm doing different things, or my God time's at a different time in the day now, because I've sensed, like, the times that I'm in are different. It requires me to go deeper. And I think for me personally right now, it has required me to go deeper. It's been a lot more of an uncertain time, but I've seen my humility, like, rise up, because I had to be humble and know, like, I really don't know what's going on this next season. And then I've had to up my, like, my fasting game, because, like, I really need a word from God. Yeah. And so it makes you kind of analyze everything. So my routine is shifting right now personally. When I meet with God, how often I meet with God, what's in the way of me and him personally. So that's my intentionality, is I know I need a word and I know I need him. And so I got to figure out what it takes to get me there. Mm. You know,
you remind me of, like, the sons of Issachar. The anointing that they had was that they knew the times and seasons and what they ought to do. Mm-hmm. And so in order to stay in alignment, every season is going to change, just like the seasons naturally change.
Yeah.
You have to be willing to say, my season might change, but what season am I in? Yeah. And knowing, because even this, like, if we're talking about navigating the times, like, one of the things that Jesus said is no one will know the day or the hour, but he did say that we would know the seasons. Mm-hmm. And he described what the seasons would have and what they would entail. Mm-hmm. And so we're seeing things. And when you talk about the last days, it can become very doom and gloom. It can become very, like, scary if you're not equipped and if you don't understand what the scripture says about it. But if you look at it from the place of what Jesus was saying, he's giving you the blueprint to have peace and to know and to discern the seasons, so that when the seasons come around, it's like, okay, I know what this season is. I see what's going on. And it makes you more aware, more sharp, you know, more sober, more vigilant on the things that you allow in, the things that you do, the choices you make. Mm-hmm. But you, yeah. like what you just said, like, I just hope that somebody, like, I'm taking that for myself, is like, don't lose the fact that seasons change. Mm-hmm. And when seasons change, just be ready to pivot, be ready to move. You know, if God's a flow and if his spirit's a flow, you want to yeah. stay in that flow. Yeah. And that flow might change. That river, yeah. the current might switch up. And so you have to be ready and agile enough to say, all right, God, like, where are we going now? And really allow him to lead you in every single moment.
Yeah, it's that, see, I am doing a new thing. Yeah. Shall you not know it? You know, you could be locked in a routine. This is what God says mm-hmm. that I should be doing, but you haven't checked in with him and had that intimacy with him to maybe you're out of alignment a little bit because you're thinking, this is what I do. This is all I do. Right. And so God could be trying to lead you into something different or lead you to do something more. And so just like what you said, it's like, you could not know it. And so, yeah, you know, see, I'm doing a new thing. Shall you not know it? Yeah. Just to constantly check in with him and say, I know this works. I know you've led me here before, but what are you doing now?
Right.
And yeah. I was thinking about that the other day, about how that's how we should always be. We should live a surrendered lifestyle that is in a flow with God. Mm-hmm. And God's going to do things the whole time we're walking with him. He'll give you a word, you'll follow it. He'll build something in your life. And then you see this thing, this worked. You can get caught up on what worked, mm-hmm. but God is still yeah. moving and he needs you to move with him. Just Absolutely. Like the word he gave to Abraham with Isaac, you know, I've now given you Isaac, but when I say sacrifice him, I can't have you holding on to him so much mm-hmm. that you won't listen to what I'm saying. Right. So I'm yeah. saying, sacrifice him. You should have the flow with God that, all right, you said that, sacrifice him rather yeah. than, but you said you were going to give me all the nations so cool. through yeah. him. So why was, so I can't sacrifice him. Like, you would try to cling to the thing he's doing and you'd miss what he's saying.
That right, is crazy. Right. I'm literally like, I'm tripping right now because like I'm in a season literally where God told me to do something that is so like, it's not, I don't want to say it's outside of who I am, mm-hmm. but it's like, God, I thought we were going down this whole path of like music and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And he gave me an instruction and then it was confirmed by a prophetic word. And I was like, all right, so we're shifting the path a little bit now. Mm-hmm. But like, I cannot tell you how like, it's never in the thing that you expect it to be. Yeah. Like, it's always something that, oh man, what were we listening to? Oh, it was Tim Ross. It was a Tim Ross podcast.
Oh yeah. Shout out to the basement, about, Tim Ross. I think he calls everybody in his squad the Dwellers. Shout out
to
that community. I've been blessed yeah. by that for sure.
But yeah. But he was saying something along the lines of like, if you think that God is going to do it this way, you can guarantee that he's not going to do it that yeah,
exactly.
way.
Exactly.
Right. Oh like, my gosh. No, that yeah. was a bomb.
Yeah.
He was literally yeah. like, exceedingly wow. God will do exceedingly abundantly far above anything you ask, think, or imagine.
Yeah.
So if you can ask, think, or imagine it,
yeah, that's a
it's not what God's gonna do.
That's good.
He's not gonna yeah. do it the way you think he's gonna do it. He's gonna do wow. it in a way that is mind-blowing, that will blow your mind, that will like shock yeah. what you thought. Mm-hmm. And even if it comes out a way that's frustrating, just know that God's ways are not your ways, God's thoughts are not your right. thoughts. And so when you're tapped in with him, like he will always work it together, oh, yeah. even if it doesn't look the way you thought it was going to look, but you have to lean into it and flow with it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. You just hearing you say that, bro. I know people look at that and they say, wow, you know, that's prophetic, man. But that's also a form of correction.
It is.
Like, if you think it and you see it the way you see it,
yeah.
and you're so stuck on the thing that you see, and God is like, okay,
it's
I'm telling
that.
You.
Yeah.
It's not
I'm trying
that.
To tell you.
Yeah.
Like, fix your mind on me,
yeah.
not the thing.
Yeah.
you know what yeah. I'm saying? So that scripture is dual.
yeah.
It has dual mm-hmm. meanings and understanding.
Think about like, it. The word is what? It's a double-edged sword.
Come on, man.
Yeah, sharp and active.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
So for the discerning of spirits. So another thing we need, just because of your question, the first question you asked was so powerful. Another thing we need is the word.
Yeah.
Because... And I'm gonna break this down so quickly because this is another revelation. I don't know if this was Tim or if this was there's another podcast called The Leader's Cut with oh, yeah. Preston Morrison. My goodness, if you want to cry, like this man's podcast is just it's brilliant. But he basically said that if Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, mm-hmm. and Jesus is also the Word, mm-hmm. the living Word, then what he's saying is the Word is the truth, mm-hmm. the Word is the way. the word is what leads you to life. Yeah. So exempt of the word, you can't have the way, the truth, and the life. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is, I said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Mm-hmm. So you have to be tapped in with the word of God. So if you're in a moment where you're like, man, I don't know what to do. The seasons are crazy. Times are getting rough. I don't know what I'm going to do. Open up the word of God and pray and say, God, show me what you want me to see in this word, because I know that your word, and when you acknowledge it, knowing who God is, God, I know that your word is going to lead me to the way, it's going to lead me to truth, and it's going to lead me to life. Mm-hmm. Jesus came that we would have life and life more abundantly. So that's why you got to open up that word.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Ooh.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Ooh. I'm like an owl.
What is happening?
Because it's hitting me.
Yeah, it is.
It's hitting me.
No, that's so good. I have another question for you. To that point, I want to know, how are you staying steady in the storm? Because life will offer you a storm.
Can we never get no easy questions, bro?
No.
Yeah, we don't. I don't know if we do easy questions.
Who wants to know the deep stuff?
I don't know if we do questions that are easy. Oh, steady in the storm.
Yeah.
How do you stay steady in the storm? Well, when I think about a storm, I think about the story about the wind and the waves and Jesus being able to say, peace, be still. But it makes me visually see like that boat. Yeah. And let's just say that boat is rocking and the winds are blowing against this thing. It feels like everything is shaky. The rain is coming down and it makes it hard to see. But the one thing that was so significant in both the stories where there were storms and Jesus was involved is that he was involved. And so Jesus is the anchor. Yeah. And if he's the anchor, no matter what happens, whatever can be shaken will be shaken, so that which cannot be shaken will remain. And we know he's the chief cornerstone, meaning he is the foundation of it all. So if things start happening, what do I need to do? I need to get to his feet. Mm-hmm. I need to get to Jesus, because I know that he is unshaken by this storm. Whatever the storm is, he's unshaken by it. So it's really about recognizing you have that anchor, and that anchor's him. No matter what's happening, everything could be shaking, because it's going to, and it already is. He's the anchor.
Yeah.
Bro, I've never seen the intimacy in this story like this until because when you're talking about what we see Jesus doing, that gives Peter the confidence to step out of the boat, because he sees, you know, he's like, Lord, you know, if it's you, you know, tell me to come out there. But also like just seeing Jesus like doing that, it gives you confidence. It's like, Jesus, I only do what I see my Father do, say what I hear my Father say. When your father or your mother or somebody in your life is handling something with so such good authority, and they're handling something smoothly, and they're walking in confidence with something, you watch that empowers you. That gives you the confidence to then do it also. Mm. So surviving the times, we're watching our God who's not shaken.
Yeah,
and we're watching the way that he confidently navigates the times. Yeah. We're watching the way that he stays afloat, that he walks on water in the midst of a storm.
Come on.
And so as we're watching him, that gives us confidence too. Well, you know, my father does it, I can do that too, because that's my father.
Yeah.
And if my father does that and he's walking with me, I know he's not going to let me sink with him. And so if you keep your eyes on him and you don't look at the storm, but you look at, no, we can overcome this storm, because you're clearly doing it right now.
Yeah.
And if you see him stand up and to a storm that's scaring you and just say, peace, be still, and it stops, you got to start watching your father.
Let me talk.
You got to start looking at your God.
That's good.
Brilliant.
I think the question was, how do you
stay steady?
Storm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't fear the storm. I fear God. I expect the storm.
You should write a song about fearing God.
Wait a second.
I think I did already.
I feel like I would play that all the time.
I don't fear no man.
I don't fear. Listen, I can't. If I'm focused on the storm, I'm missing the blessing that's in the storm.
Mm.
You know, like I can't focus on the storm. I got to keep my eyes steady. That's, you know, how do I stay steady in the storm? I keep my eyes fixed and steady on God. You know what I'm saying? Like, God is our savior for a reason. He wouldn't allow us to go through a storm if he wouldn't save us from it. You know what I'm saying? He's a father. He's a protector. You know, he will provide a way out. But you got to learn something in the storm. It's there for a reason.
Yeah.
I love it.
God is our savior.
Yeah.
That's period. Not savior sometimes.
No.
So if I know savior, that you are my savior, then like you said, through everything, you'll still be savior.
Yeah.
It's just like, be still and know that I am God.
Yes.
Remember who I am. in everything. You need provision. Hey, I'm God. You need protection. Hey, I'm God. That's so good. Like, he's my savior. Like, that really dawned on me. If that's who you are, then that's who you'll always be. So I can always know that you'll save me. That's good.
What Rick said is really powerful about, I don't fear the storm, I fear God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it made me think about the passage that says, my people perish for lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
And the parallel between my people perish for a lack of knowledge and the scripture that says the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord, or the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, beginning of wisdom.
Yeah, come on.
So the fear of the Lord being the thing that you prioritize, and fear is not to be scared and to be, oh my gosh, he's so scary. It's reverence. It's awe. It's recognizing who he is. It's truly saying, God, you are the one that created the heavens and the earth. You are the one who holds everything in your hands. You, like, it's this reverence. It's this thing that could just, like, if you really meditate on it, it can blow your mind. But that is the beginning of knowledge. And if you're tapped into the fear of the Lord and you're prioritizing him above everything else, knowledge and wisdom can come. And so I think it's about us fearing the Lord, honoring him, revering him. But then also, as that comes, praying and saying, God, give me your wisdom.
Yeah.
Give me your knowledge. I need your wisdom for this situation. I need your insight for this situation. Help me in this moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to say something real quick. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between being scared and being fearful of something. When you're scared of something, you can still move, right? You can still take a step. But when you're fearful of something, fear paralyzes you, and you're not able to move. That's why it's so important that you pay attention to what you're fearing, because what you're fearing is what you're giving your power to.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So when you surrender, right, you're surrendering your power anyway. When you fear God, you're surrendering your knowledge anyway when you fear God. Mm-hmm. So when you fear God, you're accessing true power.
Yeah.
Because power coming from yourself is not, it's not good, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's filth. It's prideful. It's acting out of, you know, rejection. It's acting out of, you know, things that you may have feared or may have held on to because you thought that would bring you comfort, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you think you're having power over something, but it really has power over you. So fear God, because that's where true power lies.
That's incredible.
Wonderful.
I heard this said. I know my wife's ready to jump. You got something?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay. No, go ahead.
Well, Rick said, like, pay attention to what you're afraid of, because whatever you are afraid of, you haven't put under the cross.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because if he defeated death, hell, and the grave, there's nothing, by no means, that could separate you from the love of God. Not death, not hell, the grave, not demons, not nothing can separate you from the love of God that is found in Christ Jesus. So the love of God that's found in Christ Jesus is found under the cross. That is the depiction of his love, that he would lay down his life for us. So if you're afraid of something or fear rises up when a situation happens, submit that thing under the cross, because the cross has victory over it.
Yeah.
The cross has victory over every single fear, every single sin, every single thing that would try to separate us from God. It is the thing that we need.
I see a thing.
It's the cross, bro.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
It's the cross.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's the cross.
Honestly, like, I think fear is the biggest part of it. I was just thinking about, I don't know how I got to it the other day, but I was just thinking about just different, because there's so much going on in the world right now, and it's going to get worse. You know what I mean? Like, the world is literally supposed to get worse, right? So my position is like, okay, what am I to do with this reality of knowing that things are going to get worse, but also with this promise of, like, but in the end, there's going to be eternal life. We'll be, you know, eternally living in Christ Jesus. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, all that sort of stuff. And how do you stay, how do you keep from being so overwhelmed and overtaken with just the evil that you see and the fear and the thoughts of what's going to happen? And he reminded me of just, like, every single, like, event and moments of, like, persecution that men and women of God have gone through. And, you know, thinking about, like, Martin Luther King Jr. So, you know, living in the 60s, you know, this is a man that is surrounded literally by so much hate. I mean, think about this for a second. When we think about Martin Luther King Jr., there's just all this awe and glory and recognition. Mm-hmm. During this time, this was probably one of the most hated men on the flip side. You know what I mean? Like, so, like, he was living in a reality that we see in retrospect, the glory, but in his current situation, like, the fear, the panic, the constantly worrying. And he, right before he died, like he was giving a sermon, he was just saying, it was so crazy because it was literally right before he died. But he literally at the end, he said, I'm not fearing any man. I'm not fearing death. My eyes have seen the coming of the glory of the Lord. And like, I get chills all over my body because it was almost as if he knew, but like, he was like, I'm just letting you know right now that I'm not going to be afraid. But this is what he saw. He saw this. He saw this. And like, we can think, if we look at it in the perspective of the time, like, unfortunately, he was assassinated. Unfortunately, he did pass on. But darkness did not have the final say.
It didn't.
He left. He died. But what happened through the course of his life outweighed the death, outweighed the pain, outweighed the struggle. And so, you know, and then thinking about, you know, the early church and the Christians, this is beginning to be a long answer, but the early church and how they were persecuted and all that. And like, you know, they were, this, you know, they were dying left and right. And it was just, it was a difficult time.
Yeah.
But the rest of the world got the gospel of Jesus Christ. The darkness did not win.
Yeah, it can't.
So sometimes it's all in, you just have to let it unfold.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a matter of time. If you look back over the course of history, darkness never wins.
It never wins.
Like, it never wins. It has never won before, and it's never going to win. It's never going to have the final say. So I think that's what kind of keeps me at peace in the middle of my storms, is knowing that at the end of the day, he always has the final say. Like, there's nothing, and there's never been any event in history where he's failed. Why would he fail me right now?
Yeah.
Why would he just stop? Is he going to quit?
Exactly.
Like, I'm tired today. I'm not going to. No, he has the final say.
Yeah.
So I think in just honoring not only just the things that you've seen in the past work together for good, like that's outside of you, but even remembering what God did for you.
Yes.
7 months ago, 7 years ago, over the course of your life, just remember that and hold on to that and know that he's got the final say, and he's always got the upper hand.
Yes.
So that's what keeps me studying is remembering and recognizing like what he's already done.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm envisioning right now.
Oh, good.
There is a, just think about how darkness really can't stay when there's light, right? If you think about an abyss, right? It's dark, nothing. You can't see anything. But if there's one speck of light, one speck of light, that one speck of light is greater than miles upon miles upon miles of darkness.
Yes.
And if you think about it in the opposite way, if there is miles upon miles upon miles of light, one speck of darkness can't stay.
You can't even see it.
Can't even.
You see what I'm saying? So.
Upper hand.
There's no comparison.
Yeah, that's
light,
really cool. Yeah.
Light eradicates darkness.
Yeah.
And he is the way, the truth, and the life, but he is also the light of the world.
Yeah.
And we are the light
of
the
world. And he calls us the light of the world.
Right?
Yeah.
So if we're the light of the world, the city that's set on a hill, that's what we need to focus on. You need to focus on being a light in the storm. You need to focus on being a light in these last days. Because I guarantee you, Martin Luther King Jr. and all the people who came before him and all the people that will come even after us, potentially, I don't know. But they had an opportunity to recognize, these are my last days.
Yeah.
PT says it. He says, let's not get into like, is this the last days? Is that the last days? You're in your last days.
Yeah.
The clock is ticking. And what are you doing with the time that you have? What are you doing right now to build the kingdom? What are you doing right now to say, I want to see it on earth as it is in heaven? Martin Luther King Jr., what he died for was worth, I mean, I'm not saying that like the way he went out was, you know, but when you think about him, it far outweighs the tragedy.
Yeah.
Because now we can be in a room like this. We can be in a space like this. Yeah. We can literally like exist. Mm-hmm. Like, right. That's actually literally, like what I'm saying. I'm looking at you. I'm like, bro, like in this space alone, like, and that's the type of life that I think Jesus set for us is that standard of like, hey, like what you do is so much bigger than you. Yeah. And there's a plan that's so much bigger than you. Mm-hmm. And like, you don't have to worry about saving the world because at the end of the day, he's already done it.
Yeah.
And it's accessible for every person. Every single person has the same access to him because he died for everyone.
Yeah.
So I think, it's like embrace the fact that these are our last days. Mm-hmm. The time is ticking, but you can be tapped in with what God wants to do in this time, in this moment, in this side of what's happening. You know, you can be tapped into it. And it happens by prioritizing him.
Yeah. So good. I remember what I was going to say earlier, and it's all in alignment with what you're saying. It's that verse where I believe it's Jesus who says, he says, wide is the way that leads to destruction, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it.
Yeah.
Few find it. Why are few finding the narrow way? You know, what does it take? And I think it's what we were all talking about too, is like remembering, you know, remembering what he's done, remembering who he is, but also who is he? He's Savior. He's God. And then making those adjustments in our life to get in alignment with him, to make sure we are truly walking with him and for him. And I think part of that meditation is when you were speaking, I was reminded of worship and how important worship is for the renewing of your mind, but also just to remind you who he is, what he's done, what he can do. I have to shout it out because I'm like, what's that worship song for me? Because as I was listening to you talk, it's On Time God for sure. Oh, that song is like
shout out
everything.
To Woman Evolve Worship.
Shout out to Woman
Evolve
Worship.
One House was involved in that. Chandler Moore, Abby Gambo. I'm sorry, I'm just giving them all.
I mean,
all the
give
props.
Them the give them the praise.
Chandler Moore, Abby Gambo.
But there's
Pastor Sarah Jakes Roberts, Pastor Toure.
Oh, he's shouting every credit on the list.
Toure, no, Pastor Toure. Yeah. I know my
fault. Shout out to everybody.
But shout out.
Yeah, there's a part in that song where. I believe it's probably spontaneous, but it's when Abby, she says, when have you ever left me? She's like, when have you ever left me? So they're talking about On Time God, you know, you always show up. You always show up gets me in general. So I'm reminding myself, you always show up. Mm-hmm. Like, and you always have shown up. And then it's just like this real sweet, like worship moment. Like, when have you ever left me? Oh my goodness. And that has kept me this whole entire season since that's came out. Just the reminder, like, every time that I thought you did leave me, or every time that I thought the times were going to get the best of me, every time that I thought I was alone, that I had been defeated, you didn't leave me.
Yeah.
And it's just like this, oh man, every time I listen to it, I'm emotional. Just that, when have you ever left me? Because I feel like that's also, it's interesting to like worship that way, because I feel like God talks to me like that too. Like he'll kind of give me a question. He'll just pose a question sometimes. When did I ever leave you? I was like, God, I'm under such intense warfare this whole week. I've been getting attacked and the devil's been doing this and that. And he just so quietly was just like, but when did you get touched?
Right.
I was like, I didn't actually. Like the devil didn't get me one time. Like, you know, mentally I might've been fearful. Yeah. I might've felt a presence but I didn't get touched. Mm. It's so true. So when have you ever left me?
Yeah.
He won't leave me. Yeah. So
You went into the fire, but you didn't come out smelling like smoke.
No.
He was with them. They had a fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Throw us in the fire. Turn it up, you know, 10 times hotter.
Yeah.
And if our God doesn't rescue us, we're still going to worship him.
Yeah. Exactly.
It all comes back to, what do you know about God? For yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yes, you can find God through going to an amazing church. You can open up the word. You can listen to worship songs. You can pray. You can have your devotion. But that's how you stay, like, because there are wolves in sheep's clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just people. There are situations and things that present themselves as light.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy comes as an angel of light. He's a deceiver. Mm-hmm. So you have to, for yourself, yes, get into community, because community can help you, sharpen you, and make sure that your sword is sharp. But also, you got to make sure you're prioritizing that walk with God for yourself, so that you don't get led astray. You said narrow is the road. So if narrow is the road, that means that there are things out there. And Jesus said that some of the very elect would be deceived.
Mm.
And the way you get deceived is when you go away from Jesus.
Yeah.
When you start to go away from Jesus and you start to go to these other things, these other, you know, outlets, these other things that offer power, these other things that offer breakthrough. And we could get into a whole nother conversation, which I know we're not going to today.
But I can't wait to do that though.
But yo.
Oh yeah.
But yo, that's the thing. And so if you have that personal relationship with God, or you want to start building that personal relationship with God, that's where you can take anything, no matter what it is. It could be a new practice. It could be, oh, try this, do that. It could be whatever. Mm. But are you taking it to him because you know him?
Yeah.
Because you have a relationship with him.
Just thinking about what you're saying, it's like I can feel somebody in the audience being confused by that, because he comes as an angel of light.
Yeah.
So we're talking about light and darkness. But then if the devil's coming as an angel of light, how am I going to know the difference? Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of just like thinking about that question.
That's a good question.
And what I was feeling is, it doesn't do what light does. Mm. He's coming as an angel of light, but it won't do what light's supposed to do. Mm. So that light that the devil is going to give you would not provide you a way of having vision. It wouldn't give you comfort. It wouldn't give you all the different things. So it might look like light, but it won't really do what light is supposed to do. If you're in a dark room and you have a light turn on, you can now walk about confidently and you can see everything. But if the devil comes and he's an angel of light, it might look a certain way, but still leaving you directionless. You're not actually having any like
and reliant visibility on that thing to the point where you can't function without it. So, like when you were saying that, I was like, a lot of times it strips you of your identity. Like, I feel like a lot of time, like, even when thinking about, like, in the garden where it all started, where it all kicked off, thinking about just, like, the first thing that the devil did was just try to take away their sense of self and say, you know, did God really say that? You know, what, you know, you're not going to die, you know, all this sort of stuff, all the things that kind of grounded you in who you were. And then the second that their eyes were opened, they started to feel ashamed and they started to feel fearful. So it's like it starts to strip you of your identity. It starts to strip you of your power. And then you become reliant on the thing. And it's always like a transactional thing too. Like whether it's like money or whether it's like, or you have to give up parts of yourself. It's not pure. Yeah. Like it's not pure. It always costs you something. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you stick it out with God, he may not answer it the way that you wanted it to be answered or do it the way that you wanted it to be done or in the time frame. Mm. But if you stay consistent, you will gain more. You'll gain not just the thing that you were waiting on, but you'll gain another version of yourself that is healthier, that is stronger, that is whole, that is more confident. And the blessing would have been just in the development of patience and endurance and strength. So you become more, you become something more. Whereas I feel the other way, it starts to strip you down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, I think that's a way that I can kind of see, the difference between the two.
Yeah, that's amazing.
You know what I was thinking about when y'all was talking about light just now again? The devil comes like an angel of light, right? The Bible also talks about how the devil comes like a lion. I think the commonality, the theme there is he's an imitator.
Right.
Right? And it's not true. It's not authentic, mm-hmm. right? When you think about newer vehicles, they have lights that are bright and you can see very well and they're almost... very too bright.
Powerful.
Right?
Yeah.
When you think about older vehicles, some of the lights may have gone through like condensation mm-hmm. or they're dull and you can't really see. So pay attention to when whatever light comes, right? Because we know that both will try to present themselves, right? You got to pay attention. Is this like calling me to do something that only benefits myself?
Right.
Or
right.
is this like calling me to benefit the kingdom?
Yes.
Is it shining light on darkness? Like, that's the other thing. Let's stay right there, right? If this light is shining on you only, you could 9 times out of 10 say, okay, it's the angel that is copying light, right? Mm-hmm. But if it's shining light on things that are in you that need to be worked on, right? That's why I said 9 times out of 10. Right? Because if the angel, the true angel of light, Jesus comes and shines light on the internal things that need to be worked on, that's how you know, mm-hmm. right? It's a difference in light, you know? Yeah. It's a difference in light and it feels different,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. What I thought about visually when you said the headlights between what's dim and what's clear is the fact that God is not an author of confusion.
That part. Mm-hmm.
And so if you are left confused and you're not able to see clear, chances are it's not God. If he's not the author of confusion, as soon as confusion comes in, you need to check it and be like, no, God is clear.
Mm-hmm.
He has clarity. And so whenever it's God leading you, you should at least see, even if it's just the one step in front of you, you should have a clear vision. You should be able to see clear enough. And even if you don't have it for yourself, let's go back to the top of what we said about the word.
Mm-hmm.
Open the word and let the word confirm. Let the word be the thing that deciphers. Because some people are being led astray by people or situations or even spirits. Yeah. Literally, people are being led astray by things. And the reason it's happening is because they're not lining it up with the word for themselves. Mm-hmm. Take it back and open the word and line it up with the word. Mm-hmm. And let him, because he is the word, let him guide you into all truth. The Spirit guides us into all truth. So let the Spirit of God guide you into all truth. Question things. Yeah. Why am I left confused? Why do I feel dependent on this person? Why do I feel like I can't have freedom unless I go and do this? Why do I feel like I can't have access to clarity unless unless I smoke this or unless I do this or unless I do that? It's because what happens is it clouds you. Yeah. It's a cloud. And I want to be able to see clear. I just want it for myself because I've been there and like I wasn't clear. Yeah. I want to be clear. I want the windshield wide open. I want my windshield wipers to work so that every time something comes across my windshield, I'm able to get it off and get it out of the way so that I can get to where I'm going. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus and the Spirit, they're the windshield wipers. So that I can see clearly as I'm going forward, because I need to get where I'm trying to go. And if I have other things getting in my way and blurring my vision, it's going to mess up where I'm trying to go.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I like that vision.
I like the vision.
It's wonderful.
I like it too. Because you were using your arms as choreography.
Yeah. He's like,
yeah, wow. You saw that?
No.
Hey, listen.
That was, we lift our hands in the sanctuary.
We lift our hands and give him the praise.
Okay. And what?
And fingers. We will bless you for the rest of our days.
Yes.
Y'all didn't think I knew that. Y'all did not. Listen. Well, listen. Y'all didn't think I knew that. Yes.
It was.
Praise the Lord.
Yes. Yes.
This is all staying.
Yeah. Invert.
Oh, we're keeping this.
Yeah. Being blessed. We're gonna wrap this combo up. I think this was also incredibly rich and deep. Let's just like one takeaway that we got from this conversation. Let's just go around real quick. Even if it's one word, if it's a sentence, whatever it is, just to kind of summarize a little bit more about this.
Man, there were so many little things that just jumped out at me. But what I continually come back to in my mind is to stay at his feet.
Amen.
Like to stay at the feet of Jesus, you know, because when you're at his feet, you're surrendered, you're humble, you're willing to say, I don't know it all. I don't have it all figured out. But when you're at his feet, you recognize he's the one who knows it all. He's the one who has every answer. Mm. And it does take humility. It does take you stepping outside of pride. It does take you stepping outside of what you think you know and saying, you know what? I don't know it all, but if you are the way, if you are the truth, and if you are the life, then I need to be at your feet because you're the only one who's going to be able to truly tell me what I need.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would just say, it's just one sentence, but if Jesus is the light inside of me, then my light is enough to eradicate any darkness that's around me.
Come on.
So just taking away knowing that what you have inside of you is enough for whatever future is in front of you.
That could have been written or straight out of a book.
I'm trying to.
It's just one sentence.
Hello.
We've got a writer. We've got a writer. Wait. To my left. A writer.
Powerful.
Thing that's on my heart is don't try to perform your way out of the storm. Trying to see how I can explain this. A lot of people want to prove that they're ready to move on to the next level, or that the glory to glory portion of their life, that they're ready for that by showing God works, right? But the Bible says faith without works is dead. So if you have faith enough to stay in the storm, you won't have to work to get out of it, right? It's going to take work. Let me rephrase that. You won't have to perform your way out of it. It's going to take work to understand how to utilize the faith. I'm thinking about when I was younger and I had a fear of being at the bottom of the stairs when I turned the lights off, right? Mm-hmm. The only way I overcame the fear of being at the bottom of the stairs was to stand at the bottom of the stairs and know that there's no weapon formed against me that'll prosper, right? Mm-hmm. That nothing that may be in the darkness around me has more power over the light that's within me, like you said.
Really good.
Yeah.
Mm. I love it. I would say remember who you're following. Remember that, you know, as you follow God, like he really does have everything under control, everything worked out. As we talked about staying at the foot of the cross, you know, Jesus is the name above all names. He's the King. And that's who's with you, you know, and keep your eyes on him. You said it earlier, fix your eyes on Jesus. You know, we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And he's going to be the one that helps us see it through. Yeah. Yeah, I love it. let's pray out. Let's pray out, because I want everybody to be able to survive the times. And the way you do that is by trusting in God. He's going to navigate you through the times, every seasonal shift, everything, every moment in your life, no matter what happens, no matter what comes up, no matter what changes, God is going to be consistent. His plan doesn't change as the times are changing. He has a consistent plan for you that you can get in alignment with and walk with him. So even when you're in that storm, even when things are shifting and looking weird, God still has you through it. So we have to have faith through that. Does anybody feel led to pray? Or you want me to close it out? Yeah?
Yeah, you got it.
All right, praise God. All right, let's pray. Well, Father, we just thank you so much for this conversation, God. I just thank you for everyone listening. I thank you, Lord, that you have your hand on them. I thank you, Lord, that you see them exactly where they are, and you know their thoughts. You love them. You know their thoughts. You know the plans you have for them, their plans to prosper them and not to harm them. You have plans to give them a future and a hope. Lord, you have plans for your children, and they are great, and there is no weapon formed against them that will prosper. There is no season that will overtake them, Lord. Mm-hmm. I pray that you remind us that we are overcomers, that we can overcome anything as we walk with you, that the power within us is greater than the power that is within the world, yeah. And that as we walk with you, we can put to death things of the flesh, we can overcome and destroy the works of the enemy, and that we have all the power and all the authority within us. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you have us in your hands, that you love us, and that we will never lose when we have you, Lord, because you can't fail, and you've never failed us, God. So I pray that you can just lift somebody's mind today, renew our thinking, renew the way that we see you, renew the way that we see our season.
Yeah.
Lord, we lay everything at your feet, and we trust you. We trust what you're doing. We trust your plan, and we trust your hand, Lord. It's in your name we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, thank you for watching. I hope this blessed you. And if it did, make sure you subscribe. We have content coming for you all the time. Subscribe to the Generation One channel. We have our own channel as well outside of the one page. So make sure you're subscribed on there for all the content that we're going to be posting for you in the future. And tap in with the Discord. We're in there every day. We're rocking in the chat. So make sure you talk to us there. We love you guys, and we'll see you in the next one.
Peace.
Hey, praise God, man.
Peace.